Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, March 4th, 2016, and on today's podcast, we will continue our discussion of the American economy with a look at the latest nightmare the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government together seek to impose on us. Unfortunately, this is not some weird conspiracy theory. It is weird, but it's more than just theory. Around the world, bankers are starting to take their governments into negative territory. Japan, Sweden, Denmark, Switzerland, and the Eurozone have all gone negative, at least for interbank transactions, because of the policies of their central banks. In the United States, a central bank, that is the Federal Reserve, also sets interest rates and is sending out hints or warning signals that negative interest rates will soon be here. What is all this about? Well, it's about debt and the failure of 103 years of a central bank-managed economy. What will negative rates mean to the United States? It means that those who seek to save will have to pay the banks for the privilege of lending them money. It's easy to think of a way to resist this charge, but those ways will not work for long. In Japan, for example, people are reportedly buying safes to store cash in so they don't have to keep it in banks and thus pay the bank to keep it. That is not what negative interest rates are intended to do. The idea is that people will not endure the negative consequences of saving, so they will take their money from the banks and spend it, thus stimulating the economy. The banks do not want a bunch of currency sitting around in their vaults. Rather, it should all be in circulation. That is part of this seven-decade-old struggle between the Keynesian economic view and the view of the Austrian school. The Keynesian view is that we should have fractional reserve banking as we do today, so only a tiny fraction of depositors' money, if any, is actually held on deposit, and the rest can be loaned out, thus creating new money. The Austrians would say, no, we should hold 100% of depositors' money in the vault so that it can be returned at any time. There will never be a bank run because the system is sound and all the money is there. Profit can then be realized from interest on the money. Keynesians say having all that currency on hand would cut the circulation of money tremendously because it would all be in their banks. In reply, the Austrians would say, actually, we would prefer that it be gold in your vaults, but currency is better than nothing. I will add that in the Austrian view, there would be no need for federal deposit insurance because all the money to cover every deposit would be there on hand. The whole movement into negative interest rates and toward the elimination of cash is because the governments of the world have been using very dangerous economic practices in order to stimulate their economies. Their economies are failing due to 70 years of socialistic Keynesianism. They've created trillions of dollars and borrowed trillions more, and now they want to go negative on interest rates. It's a desperate act designed to get you to spend your money rather than save it. The government mistakenly believes that if it punishes you severely enough for saving, you will relent and spend all your savings. If you have cash outside the banking system, it frees you from these constraints, thus the movement to ban cash. The drug smuggling, terrorism, and money laundering reasons given for banning large bills and eventually all cash are just government propaganda, not much different from what Joseph Goebbels put out to the German people in the 1930s and 40s. It is a long-term trend toward more government control of everything. The trend and the lust for power have always been there. But now the technology exists to make these trends a reality. We have steadfastly resisted Keynesian, so the government says, okay, if you won't do it voluntarily, we'll force you to become Keynesians by taking your money by force. This has happened before in our history. If you think about it, governments hate to be limited. And gold and silver were very limiting. You could only spend what you had. People were forced by a government edict to accept paper money, so government spending would no longer be limited by the amount of money they could take from us. They could just print what they needed and later didn't even have to do that because it was all in their computers. Now they don't want to create money. They want to force everyone into an electronic system where they have access to and control of everyone's money. If that were all, folks, it would be plenty, but it gets worse. Many years ago, there was this concept called the American Dream. Everyone had his own version of it, of course. Everyone's version was slightly different. If you could work throughout your life and perhaps build a business, or perhaps just save and invest wisely, and perhaps you could build a nest egg of about $1 million, you could retire when you wanted to and have about $50,000 per year for life, plus Social Security benefits, without ever touching the principal. The principal could then be left to your children, who, if they were smart, could do the same thing and build the principal even higher. If your means did not allow a $1 million nest egg, then you could still live the same way by just carefully drawing down the principal to make up the difference. This could all be done risk-free through government bonds. But no more, that's all gone now. ZERP, zero interest rate policy, and now NERP, negative interest rate policy, have completely destroyed the dream of retirement. The government seems to want it this way. I suppose they would prefer that we be 100% dependent on government for the rest of our lives. Today, neither individuals, no matter how smart, nor pension plans, no matter who runs them, can assure you a comfortable retirement. Why is this so? It's so because the all-powerful overlords who run the government decided that it would be so. They decided to sacrifice the retirement of millions of retirees for what they considered to be the greater good. You may note that none of them are subject to the same limitations. Can't you just see a central banker or government official saying, wait a minute, this is going to kill my retirement? So now the specter of politics is upon us. The primaries are going on as we speak, so will it be Hillary or Bernie? Or maybe Biden will enter the race? Will it be Donald, Ted, Marco? Or will Mitt Romney enter the race to play spoiler? Why don't we endeavor to pay attention to what these candidates are actually saying and support the one who pledges himself or herself to support a return to sound money and to market interest rates? How about the one who says, there will be no cashless system during my administration? You can count on that because it will only be instituted over my dead body. And if that happens, my vice president has pledged to do the same thing. Yes, indeed, go ahead and support that person if you can find him. Most of this is about debt, folks. It's about insurmountable debt that is starting to eat away at growth. Growth means no more taxes, falling tax rates. That debt is a heavy burden. It is especially heavy when someone else ran up the debt. That is called debt serfdom, or simply debt slavery, defined as when someone else owns the fruits of your labor. Young people in the United States are now expected to work their entire lives to pay for things their parents and grandparents consumed decades earlier. Then they should expect no comfortable retirement from their lifetime of labor. Revolutions, uprisings, insurrections have begun over such things. Will our young people accept their lot and remain docile in debt servitude their whole lives? Time will tell, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.